number 5. Mambo number 5, you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment show, Squabble Box. We're going to be with you until 9 a.m. this morning, and we're talking all about the 1990s. You can get in touch with the show in the many different ways, on Twitter, at Siren FM, from the email, studio@sirenonline.co.uk, on the text message 07797 800 716, or on our Facebook fan page Squabble Box. You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Myself and Maisie Anderson will be back in just a few moments, but here is another 90s track.
Here we go. Siren FM.
Yeah. You are my fire, the one desire. Believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart.
Hit me, baby, one more time. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We've been playing a couple of 90s tracks just to get you in the mood before we start talking about the 1990s. A great decade, Maisie.
Apparently, it's looked on with so much nostalgia, especially by, as you said before that last song, by people like us who were only in the 90s for like the last half of the decade.
Yet we are really excited about today's show, talking all about the 90s, and we hope people get in touch and let us know your memories of the 90s. Did you have a Windows 95 PC? What sort of TV were you watching, and what music were you listening to? Let us know.
Well, we've already had someone come in.
Oh, yes.
Over the email, Christopher Clarkson from Drive Time Breakfast and Word Perfect.
If you tune into Siren FM, he's probably on. He never goes home.
And if he's not on, he's in the office. But he has asked, Art Attack, or he has said, Art Attack and Tamagotchis were perhaps my favourite things to do in the 90s. What were yours?
Ooh, I really, I'm liking that we're starting off with Tamagotchis, because when I put the poster together for the 90s, that was the first thing that I thought of when it came to the 1990s.
See, I have an interesting story. It's actually not that interesting, but I have a story about Tamagotchis.
All right.
Where I was with, I was visiting my grandparents one summer, and it must have been in the 90s, it might have been the early 2000s. Me and my sister were there with all of our cousins. And some of my cousins had Tamagotchis, and me and my sister were playing with them, and they were really cool. And then a couple of days later, my sister went with my nan to go do something like shopping, and on the way back, she bought her a Tamagotchi from Toys R Us. So I was the only one who didn't have one.
Oh, I
was also not the youngest.
If there is one thing about having it's awful not having a Tamagotchi, but it's even more awful being the only one around you who doesn't have a Tamagotchi.
I think it was me and one other cousin, and we were just there like, what? You can't buy my sister something and not equal. Like, I live in a house where everything had to be the same for me and my sister, to a very scary degree at points, where it would seem almost ridiculous how even my mum, like my mum would count out peas if she had to make sure we both had the same. She was so determined to everything, to be fair. And then for my sister to suddenly have a toy that I was, that not even that I wasn't allowed, but that I hadn't even been sort of asked, do you want to go get one too? It was a bit of a stab in the heart.
For people who were not under 10 years old in the 1990s, yeah. Please explain what a Tamagotchi is.
A Tamagotchi is a keychain that has a basically a life sim in it, but the sim is like a pet.
Yes.
So it's like an early version of Nintendogs, but slightly less sophisticated, but far more fun. Because the problem with Nintendogs that I always found, and this is a very 2000s thing, but oh well, is that...
Start it off as we mean to go on, going off topic.
But once you, once you've done all the things you need to do for the dog that day, that like you do the washing, the feeding, the training, then there's nothing else to do for the rest of the day. You have to wait until like tomorrow to do it. Whereas with Tamagotchis, because they were so portable that you could have them on your keychain, you could just check them every now and again.
Yeah. Because they now have a Tamagotchi app.
They do. I remember you getting the Tamagotchi app.
I paid for it. I paid 79 pence.
I thought it was free.
No, 79 pence. I just had a wave of nostalgia.
This is an emulator.
Yes. And it was it was interesting. I sort of got to realise that actually the Tamagotchis weren't that great. But I think that's looking back on knowing what technology is like nowadays and what kids have nowadays. If you gave a kid a Tamagotchi nowadays, they would laugh in your face. And well, hopefully not. Hopefully.
There are, if you want to see it, there are videos on YouTube of children being handed 90s toys and just to see how they would look at them. Like, we were watching a TV show like months ago called...
It was alright in the 90s.
No, it wasn't even... That wasn't the thing. It was something like... It was something about technology, and it was basically celebrities giving their children toys that they used to play with and then going, look how I had it. And they would get really patronising to these children. Some of them were as old as 14, and they were going, we didn't have mobile phones in my day. And the kids going, they're like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I've thought these things have always existed. This is the thing that annoys me about being a millennial.
Oh, gosh, we're going to have this conversation again, aren't we?
It's the talking down to and told that, when we were young, we didn't have computer labs in the library. We had to go through the index of a book. So do we. It's not like we've always thought these technologies existed. We've done history. We know that there was a time before computers, and we know there was a time before, like, toilets. You know, we get it. We just like to utilise what we have. It's not our fault that we were born into an age with better technology than you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the best Adam Hills rant you're ever going to get on Squawkbox Sunday Breakfast. That's
the
Ofcom regulated. I'm glad you didn't use his catchphrase at the end there, because then we would have been off air for good. Other toys that you used to like in the 1990s. 1990s toys.
Now, this is something you might not know about, because me and you are very fixed in our gender stereotypes.
Are we?
I was as a kid.
Okay.
I don't know about you. But they were, when in the 90s, they started making alternatives to Barbie.
Ah.
So they were made by the same company, but they were like different. They were like different cliques of Barbie. It was really funny. Because you have your standard Barbie and all of her friends who are slightly different, but basically the same character. And then you got Bratz, which I wasn't allowed because they freak my mum out. Because they have ridiculously big heads and lips, and she thought it looked stupid. Especially because they also had giant clown feet for some reason, if I'm remembering properly. And then there was Mycenes, which is what I did have. And Mycenes were literally Barbies, just with slightly different faces. Yeah. But I did actually once, I got spoiled quite a lot one birth. I think it was a birthday or a Christmas, where I got a huge like limousine thing that like had lights and stuff all in it, and it was super cool, and I think I played with it twice.
Oh yeah, that was always the problem with toys as a kid. You would literally just play with a lot of them.
I don't know, I was quite good because Polly Pockets were my jam, because Polly Pockets, this is the reason my mum and dad liked them, because Polly Pockets taught you how to fold things away.
Yeah.
Because they would, because the ones that I had as a kid would be like really small things, but you would press a button or you'd pull a thing out and they'd become these giant things. So like I had a camper van that turned into a cafe. It was so cool. I think it's still in the loft and I want it.
I had a, because I used to have a Mickey Mouse playset, which had a caravan that opened up into like another playset thing.
So isn't it, I also had a Barbie boat that opened up into a pool, which is so pointless.
One of my...
I got really angry about the fact that, why would you have a pool inside a boat? The boat is in the water.
That's true, actually. My favourite thing as a kid, my favourite toy as a kid that I can remember was always Action Men. I was really, really into my Action Men, which isn't surprising why I now collect wrestling figures, because they're quite similar. But I wish I'd have kept a lot of the Action Men that I had as a kid. But no one knew that they would become valuable.
No one thinks that as a kid, because no one really thinks that as they sort of... Like, no one looks at their toys and think, yeah, they're going to be worth something one day. Yeah. Not until you're an adult and you're collecting, like, these pop vinyl things. But I don't know if I have anything that's particularly... would be worth any money now. I've got the Tweenies toys. I've got, like, I think they're worth a little bit more than they were sold for originally. I'd have to look it up, but I don't think I have any toys that are, like, super precious.
Well, since I've become a collector of wrestling figures, I keep turning around. It changes your whole perspective on the Toy Story trilogy.
You take yours out of the box.
Yeah, but it changes your whole perspective on the Toy Story trilogy. I literally watch Toy Story and I'm there like, it changes the second film because I'm there going, no, just give it to the collector guy. And then on the third film, I'm like, you're giving it to the child? How dare you? He is a rare toy. He needs to go in with Jesse in a box somewhere and be on a shelf where he can be appreciated.
You've grown up to be the chicken soup. Dude,
I have.
But this is the thing.
I'm glad I haven't grown up to be the guy next door who blows up the toys.
Sid?
Yeah.
Oh, there are so many fan theories about Sid.
Yeah.
There's one fan theory that he actually, when he learnt sentience of the toys, he then became a garbage truck man, as is seen in the third one.
Third film, yeah.
But the thing is, being a garbage man in America isn't that bad. Like, it's a bad job, but you get paid really well, so it's actually not a sucky job to have.
One more toy.
But the idea... the idea of this fan theory is the idea that Sid, actually, when he learns the sentience of toys, he accepts it and then decides to try and save them from the rubbish. But because all of the toys from Toy Story run away from him before they have chance to be saved, that he doesn't get a chance to save them, and then they nearly die.
Oh, that's quite sad. That's actually quite...
I like that idea. It's not true. It's just a really nice idea.
It is quite nice. One more toy, Maisie. Yeah. One more toy. The Mr. Frosty machine.
I never had the Misty Frosty machine.
I never had
the desire to have the Mr. Frosty machine.
Like, at the time, I was there like, Mom, Dad, why are you not buying me a Mr. Frosty machine? Ryan up the road, he gets a Mr. Frosty machine. Why don't I get a Misty Frosty machine? I'll tell you why. Because they don't work.
They don't.
Because they are cheap tat. That is why my parents didn't buy them.
They're like fake. They're like just a plastic grinder when you could just use a blender.
Yeah.
And then they gave you like three syrups, or like maybe four, and they were like enough for one cone. But you didn't put it in while you were mixing, you had to put it on afterwards.
You are paying for a smiley snowman face. I am surprised Frozen haven't jumped all over this.
Why haven't they made an Olaf Mr. Freezy thing?
I'm not sure. Maybe there's a copyright.
There is probably a copyright on the technology, even though it doesn't work. Maybe that's why. Maybe Disney actually wants to make you things that work.
We are your interactive entertainment show squabble box here for Sunday Breakfast. Like I say, we are interactive. Get in touch. Let us know your favourite things about the 1990s on Twitter at SirenFM. The email studio@sirenonline.co.uk. The Facebook fan page Squabble Box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via our radio player app.
We're playing some of the best tunes of the 90s now, and here's another.
I feel like I've been locked up tight for a century of lonely nights, waiting for someone to release me. You're licking your lips and blowing kisses my way, but that don't mean I'm gonna give it away, baby. Gotta make a big impression.
Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera. You are listening to Squabblebox on Siren FM, and we are obviously talking all about the 90s today with myself, Mersey Anderson, and my lovely co-host, Kai Valentine.
I'm glad I've been upgraded from assistant to co-host, and I'm lovely still, so that's good.
I have to admit, that's the most fun I get out of Sunday mornings. Is the few occasions when I do come up after a song is the fact that I have complete power over what I'd say.
So great. We're talking about the 1990s this morning. We've been talking about some of the toys that we played with in the late 1990s when we were kids. We haven't had any more. Have we had another message?
We have, from Chris Clarkson again.
Ah, hello, Chris.
Who just wants to clarify that Furbies and Woody and Buzz toys were his favourite toys from the 90s because he lived the films Toy Story and Lion King.
Oh, right. I've never seen the Lion King.
I have to admit, at some point this becomes capitalised. He's very excited about this.
I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying that I've never seen the Lion King.
Why not?
Why have I never seen it?
Why not? It's such a good film.
Yeah, but I like seeing people's faces when I tell them that.
Well, you know that the Lion King is Hamlet, right?
I didn't.
It's Hamlet.
I should know that. I'm a drama student.
Yeah, it's a king has a young son. The king is then killed by his brother, who becomes king himself.
Ah, right.
And then when the young boy gets older, his brother comes to him, his dad comes to him in a vision and says, by the way, your uncle killed me. You should probably go sort him out. And then they do. But I don't remember the bit in Hamlet where there's a boar and a meerkat.
No.
It would be way more interesting with a boar and a meerkat, which is why they made Lion King, though.
That's true.
That's the only reason they made Lion King. And then the sequel is kind of Romeo and Juliet.
All right.
Because it's two two cubs that shouldn't be in love but are in love.
Yes.
And it's all sweet and stuff.
Let's take a moment to talk about 1990s television.
Well, we've already started touching on the films from the 90s, so yeah. We might as well.
So some of the ones that I really liked to be honest, a lot of the stuff from the 1990s that are television that an adult would watch.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't discover in the 1990s because I was 4 years old when the clock struck 12 at 2000. So that was a weird saying. But like I say, I was very young, you were very young.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the 1990s television shows that you either saw at the time or you now look back on and go, those are really good TV?
There's a lot of it. My mum and dad introduced me to old telly from a young age.
Yes.
So I have way too much to talk about. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell because my parents also showed me an awful lot of stuff from when they were kids, and that's as early as the 70s. So so thinking of stuff on the spot is kind of difficult because, like you say, me and you would have been watching stuff like The Tweenies and Postman Pat.
Yes.
And Thomas and Friends. Was it Thomas and Friends when we were kids, or is it just Thomas?
It was.
Was it just Thomas the Tank Engine, or was it Thomas and Friends?
No, it was just Thomas the Tank Engine, I think. I don't want to get that wrong, because it was one of my best TV shows.
Yeah.
But we used to watch it when Ringo Starr did the commentary over it.
Did Ringo Starr do the commentary for Toy Story?
Yes.
Not Toy Story.
That was his first thing after the Beatles. He got an agent.
All I know is that Alec Baldwin was the train conductor guy in the movie that you were really scared of, so we made you watch it.
I hated that film. That was the 1990s. No, it was 2000.
That was the year 2000. That was just on the edge.
Gosh, that was a scary film. I did not like that big train.
Well, the thing is, we tried to watch it with you to see whether you'd still be scared of it, and we couldn't get halfway through it because it was so bad.
You got scared.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we got to a part of it and you all went, oh, wow, that's actually quite scary.
No, we didn't actually get scared. What we said was, okay, yeah, if you are 5 years old and watching this is scary.
That's what I mean.
We agreed that it would be scary for you as a child. We didn't get scared because we're 20.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get scared. Yeah,
But that's because you've got your sort of deep-seated sort of negative energy around that film, so it's fine.
A television show that ran for the entire 90s, one of my favourites, you can find it a lot now on UK TV Gold, One Foot in the Grave, ran from 1990 till 2000. You're not a fan, Maisie?
No.
For the people listening at home, Maisie is rolling her eyes back.
I did the biggest eye roll I think I've ever done.
into the back of her head there. So you're not a big fan of One Foot in the Grave?
No.
Richard Wilson's a legend.
Not really.
I will terribly disagree with you on that.
You're allowed to disagree with me, but I have a different taste in TV to you.
Oh, yeah,
you
of
do.
Course, yeah. And I'll turn around to you just, sometimes.
This
and
is
go.
The thing. It's when it comes to like stuff like One Foot in the Grave, it's not new or innovative. It's just the same kind of sitcom over and over again. That there was nothing about it that was particularly different from any other sitcom that was playing at the same time.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of my favourites. Another one...
Yeah, but that's because you're a grumpy old man, so you relate.
Did you like Keeping Up Appearances?
Yeah. That's because everyone knows someone who's exactly like Mrs. Bucket, though. Yeah.
You turn around and go, all the sitcoms are the same, but to be honest, you've got to like some of them.
No, I'm not saying that I don't like sitcoms from the 90s.
Yeah.
What I don't like is specifically that one.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fine. Yeah, Mrs. Bouquet, Keeping Up Appearances, an amazing, amazing television show, in my opinion. Like you say, everyone knows a Mrs. Bouquet, and I was always hoping that when they brought it back, they were going to have her, Patricia Routledge, do a cameo somewhere in the new one.
Yeah, that was a one-off. For sort of sitcom season on the BBC, and
there's a possibility it may come back.
Well, yeah, they did a whole bunch of old 80s and 90s. They brought back a bunch of old 80s and 90s, and they rebooted them a little bit. And some of them had really good reception; others didn't. The ones that they did a version of Young Enid. What's her name? What's her first name?
Hyacinth.
Yeah, Young Hyacinth. Which was Carrie Fisher. They did... they did...
Carrie Fisher?
Not Carrie Fisher.
That's...
Sorry, Carrie Howard.
Carrie Howard. Carrie Fisher was not in it.
Carrie Fisher wouldn't be in it. Sorry, I'm still mourning.
It's okay.
Then, yes...
That's thrown you off a little bit there, hasn't it?
It was Goodnight, Sweetheart. which wasn't so much a reboot because they used... It was the same actors playing the same characters, but they... did it this time period. And then what were the other things?
Porridge.
They did a flash forward of Porridge. An updated version of Porridge.
Which is being brought back, and that's the one that's been sent to series
That's
so
the one
far.
That's been sent to series so far. And then they did Are You Being Served, and that one didn't come out to very good reviews.
No.
People weren't too pleased with that one, and I think that was because it was just a straight-up reboot.
I watched it, and I really... I quite enjoyed it, actually. It was very much... It was very old-fashioned comedy, but I know that my dad really enjoyed watching it with me because he remembered a lot of the stuff, and I think it was a nostalgia factor for him. Whether it would work as a full series nowadays, I'm not sure. Because we get a lot of people hate on things like Mrs. Brown's Boys, even though there is a great... There is a lot of people who will go out and watch that sort of stuff.
But you can't confuse popular culture for quality.
Yeah.
Popular and quality doesn't always mix.
But I
Justin
think
Bieber is popular, but he's not necessarily quality.
There was a quote in a, I think it was Brendan O'Carroll who said it actually about Mr. Brown's Boys, and they said that because a critic had come and said that there is a group of people watching comedy which have been forgotten by these mass. By a lot of the people criticizing television and doing reviews of television, there's a group of people who are not being the outspoken ones and being in the newspapers and writing reviews who are actually enjoying it.
Wait, what?
Never mind.
There are critics that are enjoying things that are like Mrs. Brown's Boys, but just not saying it.
I didn't have the actual quote in front of me. No, that's not what I was saying at all.
That's what it sounded like you were saying.
No, I wasn't saying that. Let's move on to another one.
Because I have no idea what you just said.
Let's move on to another one. Another one that is actually being brought back for a series. Blankety Blank.
Is Blankety Blank being brought back?
Yes. It came back over Christmas for a Christmas special hosted by David Walliams.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And they're bringing it back for series now. They did it a couple of years. This is for ITV. Yeah. Now, ITV always had Blankety Blank. However, the BBC brought out another show a couple of years ago with Rob Brydon. I don't know whether you saw it, and I can't remember the name of it.
It wasn't Blankety Blank, but it was basically the same idea.
It was basically Blankety Blank. They all stood in, you know, they were all sat in like three rows and two contestants went and spoke to the, you know, and they got to give answers. And it was basically Blankety Blank, but not called Blankety Blank.
Well, Blankety Blank is very similar to Family Fortunes, isn't it? It's a similar idea, except you have to fill in a whole sentence. You have to like fill in a part of a sentence rather than just answer the question.
It's kind of like that, yeah. Kind of.
And then there's Family Fortunes is the exact opposite of Pointless.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So we'll talk more about television shows from the 1990s and we'll get into everything from fashion, even though
us was jelly shoes and dungarees.
Jelly shoes. Oh, we've got to talk about those. Crocs.
How much time are we allowing for this jelly shoes conversation? There's not much to tell.
But we're going to talk more about it as the show goes on. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. Living La Vida Loca, you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. It's breakfast time, we're joining you at the table, and we're going to be with you until 10 a.m. this morning. I realised in the first half of the show, I was like, oh, we're going to be here till 9. It's probably because we've been doing the breakfast shows on Mondays and Fridays.
I know, I was so happy I could wake up half an hour later than I normally do to come to the studio.
So, Living La Vida Loca, funny story about that. I'm not sure whether I've ever told it on air. Have I ever told you about the time that I sang in assembly at high school?
I think you have. I'm not sure if you've mentioned it on Squabblebox before, so do carry on.
I sang, I was a big Coldplay fan, still am, and my song of choice back then was Viva La Vida by Coldplay. And I think there's a couple of people who can see where this one's going. So, Dad, if you're listening, it was all your fault. I was going to be singing Viva La Vida in assembly, and I decided, right, I'll ask my dad to get me the backing track. So he got it by legal means, of course.
I don't actually think I have heard this story.
Have you not heard this story? No.
I can see where it's going, though.
It was so close to being an absolutely hilarious anecdote, but luckily, before I headed into school that morning, I decided to check the backing track, and it was Viva La Vida. It was Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. And luckily, I checked it just before I headed off to school and I was able to change it in time, because if I hadn't have can you imagine me getting up in assembly and they're going, Kai, with Living La Vida Loca, or just starting to play.
No, I would have loved that. I would have loved to see you figure out that it was the wrong song and then start singing, trying to match the lyrics.
Put Viva La Vida by Coldplay. You're 10, so I was 14.
Oh gosh, you're really old enough to know better.
Yeah, 14, really.
I was imagining you being like an 8-year-old, like at a school fete singing, not like a high school age.
Why was I still needing my dad to download music for me at the age of 14? That's the question.
Well, because he needed to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Or as true as it can be. So we're talking about the 1990s this morning here on Squabblebox Sunday Breakfast, Siren 107.3 FM. Memories of the 1990s, Maisie.
Now, we were talking about this during that last song. My most vivid memories
of talk about
the 90s
jelly shoes.
Are jelly shoes, wellies, and one holiday I took with my family where I was really ill. And there's only one picture of me during that holiday where I'm not sick, and I'm wearing the most 90s outfit you can ever put a toddler in, because I've got like really short curly hair at this point as a kid, and then so I look a bit like a small Tracy Beaker. And then I'm also wearing like a red t-shirt, but over the red t-shirt I'm wearing corduroy dungarees. Corduroy dungarees that are patchwork and come in four different colours, a different colour for each limb. And they were the best. I loved them.
Yeah.
They were the coolest. I wish I had a big version of them.
What, so you're not embarrassed of them now?
No, I was. Like, all the way through the noughties I was. And then I looked at it and thought, actually, because the 90s of fashion is revived. It's a revival at the minute where you get, like, chokers have come back for some reason. You get, like, velvet dresses are a thing again. Like, most 90s fashion is now popular again.
Do you know what's
and I'm
not,
fine with that.
Do you know what's not popular again? My fashion from...
Your 90s fashion was football shirts, wasn't it?
Oh, no. 90s, when I mean like when I was a kid.
When you were
talking. When
when you didn't get a choice.
There's a photo of me there's a photo of me as a kid in Thomas the Tank Engine dungarees. I look really smart, actually. But yeah, that was the coolest I looked until I turned like 18. To be honest, I don't think I've ever looked that cool since that day in mother care, getting those photos taken. However, photo of me from when I had my first photos for it. I signed up for an acting and modelling agency when I was a kid.
Did you now?
Yeah.
Your parents did.
Well, my parents did for me. And I went and got photos taken, and there's a photo of me still, and I just saw it on Facebook last night. I'm going to have to find it and put it on the Facebook page, of me in a... it's really... in a denim shirt. Denim jacket and denim... jeans, denim. And
I rocked the denim as a kid. I had little denim dresses, and my sister had a matching one. And I think the first ever school picture I took when I was 5 was right before the millennia kicked in, and it's the most evil looking picture. My mum loves it because it's obviously the first picture, proper picture of her child. But for me, it was I have dimples, but they were really pronounced as a kid. But I also had really tiny, like, tiny baby teeth. Mm. But they were sharp. Look, they look sharp.
Yeah.
So on this photo, it's just me with sort of, like, really evil-looking teeth and huge dimples. But I'm also, like, I don't think I was very well that day because my cheeks are really red as well. So I look really quite scary. As a small child, I need to find the photo. Like, my mum loves this photo. It's on our, like, it's been on, it was hanging up for ages. But unfortunately, next to that was the picture of my sister.
Oh.
And my sister had an unfortunate incident where before her first ever school photo, when she was 5, this was like nursery, this wasn't even proper school, she'd cut her own hair.
Oh,
and it had to get fixed with a bowl cut.
How did she cut her own hair?
Okay, there are three incidents in which my sister has cut her own hair
as a child.
This was
in the 1990s, so it's relevant.
This was in the 90s when my sister cut her own hair three times.
Okay.
And every single one of those times was my aunt's fault.
No.
All three of these times. Like, my auntie, she asked one of her... She said this to her friends, sort of like, "Are my daughter... Like,
Maisie's having a couple of technical difficulties with her microphone. We're going to go into another song. We're going to go into the news and we'll finish off this story. Everyone wants to know about the bowl cut. The bowl cut story, Maisie. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. We're going to go into a couple of songs before the news at 9 o'clock, but stay tuned for more Sunday Breakfast. Here, Sunday Breakfast. We're going to be with you until 10 a.m. The news is coming up very shortly, so stay tuned. We'll be back just after 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. You say it's over, that you're leaving. Get out of my way. I'm blocking the door. What I say, I don't care if you stay. Care if you stay. Seems like no matter. One shot for the rest of the night. He's a real smooth brother, never in a rush. And he gives me goose pimples with every single touch. Spends quality time with his kids when he can. Secure in his manhood, cause he's a real man. A lover and a fighter and a knocker, knocker out. Don't take him for a sucker, cause it's not what he's about. Every time I need him, he always got my back. Never disrespectful, cause his mama taught him that. I got a good man.
Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We're playing some of the best 90s tunes that we can think of. Remember to get in touch if you have any requests at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
So before the news, about 15 minutes ago, we were chatting about a little story about your sister Maisie,
yeah,
and the bowl haircut. Shall we go back to that?
Yeah,
give everyone just a little bit of background in case they missed it.
Just to recap, there for ages in my mother's back room were two pictures hanging on the wall, both of me and my sister at the same age when we were about 5 years old at nursery, the first time that either of us had a formal picture taken. On mine, I feel like I look quite evil because I have tiny sharp baby teeth and huge red cheeks, but it's not as bad as my poor sister who unfortunately had cut her own hair like a few weeks before the picture, and so my grandma had to sort it out, essentially giving her a bowl haircut at the age of five. And the reason for this, and you started asking me about how old my sister was, and about my sister cutting her hair and how that happened. And essentially, my sister cutting her own hair as a child happened 3 times. I'm assuming all of them in the 90s, considering the age of my sister. But all 3 times are my aunt's fault. And it's the same aunt. And basically, what happened was she went to her friend one day and said to her, sort of like, oh yeah, my niece, she's cut her own hair 3 times. And I think every single time is my fault. So her friend asked her to sort of reiterate these stories to her and see whether it is actually her fault or not. The first, I don't know which order these come in, but I know that these happened on 3 separate events. One time was my sister cut her hair with a pair of scissors that my auntie had bought her as part of an arts and crafts pack. Would you consider that her fault?
No. What?
She gave her the scissors. It's like the scissors that my sister used to cut her hair were given to her by this aunt.
But did she... Are they like scissors that you give to children?
They were strong enough to cut her hair.
What sort of scissors do you give to children?
I'm assuming they must have been safety scissors, but they would have still been strong enough to cut hair with.
I don't know whether you say that it was... To be honest, how old was she, did you say?
My sister, she would have been anywhere between the ages of sort of toddler to young child.
Not anywhere really between, sure what okay, age
anywhere
that
between 92 and the year 2000.
So she
could have been anywhere between 3 to 8, but I think by the time she was about 5, she'd stopped cutting her hair.
I was going to say, if you're below 5, then I might let you off. If you're above 5, then you're old enough to know better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think that time she was below 5.
Yeah.
The other there was the next time, and these aren't necessarily in order. I don't know which order they go in. It was while my auntie was babysitting her, and she didn't know that she was cutting her hair. She'd put her to bed and then went to go check on her and all of her hair was on the floor.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. But not as bad as the last time. And I think this is the one that sort of just stressed her out the most, is the fact that the third and final time she did it was because she wanted to have a bob haircut like my auntie. So my aunt had really short hair in the 90s. So my sister saw that, and knowing that my aunt, like, admiring my auntie, decided that she wanted the same haircut and tried to do it herself.
Jade, if you're listening, go to a hairdresser's.
She does now. She's 24. But in the 90s, she didn't know that. Like, when we were little, my grandma cut our hair because she was a hairdresser.
Yeah.
So we got our hair done for free. But this is the other thing. My grandma is really sort of fussy about her hair scissors, which is understandable because scissors get weak if you use them on things they're not supposed to be used on. So if you keep one pair of scissors for one thing, they'll always be good at cutting that thing.
Yes.
So why hairdressers get really fussy about hair scissors. And my grandma would apparently, she would get very upset if anyone tried to use these scissors for anything else. So that meant my mum, my auntie, me and my sister, at any point, if we were caught using these scissors for anything else, we'd be in very big trouble. Apart from this one time, when my mum, my aunt and my grandma are all on holiday together, and while on holiday, my grandma wanted a gin and tonic, so she got a lemon out and started cutting it, like you do, but with her hair scissors. So these are sort of magical scissors that you're not allowed to touch. They're only used for hair and lemon. So it's such a specific thing to break the rule for.
That is true, yeah. That's
it's like they were knives. I'm sure there were knives in this room.
And it still bothers you today.
It doesn't bother me. It bothers my mum so much because she spent her entire childhood being so scared of accidentally using the wrong scissors.
Well, we're talking all about the 1990s today. And one thing...
It doesn't sound like it,
does
it?
No, it doesn't. But we're going to go back to it. One of the things I'm reading about here, 1991 was the year that the internet became available for unrestricted commercial use. Now,
yeah.
It's hard to imagine this world now currently. Like, I'm not saying that it's hard to imagine a world without internet. I'm saying that it's hard to imagine the world in its current form now surviving.
You can't imagine reverting back.
Yeah, if the internet was taken away, a lot of things in this world would not be able to carry on.
I think in our culture, definitely. I mean, the problem is that there are plenty of countries with very little internet access, and even more so countries that have their own internet. Like, I believe China have their own version of Twitter.
I believe so. Yeah, North Korea obviously have very restricted.
Yeah, so there are
well.
Places who have very strict rules on the internet. There are some places who don't have it at all, who have complete media blackouts, and not because of their government, but just because they don't have the technology and they've never wanted it. So it's not impossible to live without the internet. Like, history has proved that.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to all of time, the internet is a very small part of it. The only problem is that it has made it very difficult to go backwards. Like, there are several documentaries that I've seen where people go backwards. They do, like, a week or a month without the internet, without modern technology, without smartphones, laptops, proper computers that we know today, and a lot of them struggle.
Yeah, I would.
But the thing is, it's not necessarily because, like, this is the thing, you can train yourself to be used to not having the internet all the time for personal stuff. Like, you can get used to not scrolling your Facebook feed. You can probably go a week without your phone and live, and you'll get, by the end of the week, you'll be used to it. The problem is that a lot of these documentaries get them to also carry on doing their jobs. So there's one documentary where two people get their entire social media taken away. One of them is a communications expert for an internet company. So she was there with a typewriter having to call people on the phone when normally all she would have to do is type a comment on, like, if there was a thread going on about a thing, like there was a problem with someone's subscription to this website, then all she had to go is... all she had to do to contact them was comment on that thread, going, here's what the problem probably is. If it's not this problem, go to this link and someone will be able to live chat with you, stuff like that. And so she was there with a typewriter going, okay, I know how to use the typewriter. I don't know where I'm supposed to send it.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
I can't send people this information.
Do you take facts?
Yeah, so
no.
Like,
I think they don't take facts anymore.
I think they were given a fax machine, but at the same time she was like, no one else has a fax machine. I have no one to send this to.
That's the great thing. If you have a fax machine, that's all well and good. But if your friend who you contact a lot doesn't have a fax machine, then you're not going to get any use out of it.
I think she was also given a pager. I believe she was given a pager, and she had no use for it by the end of the month. Because that no one's going to text my pager. They're going to try and text my phone if they don't know that I'm doing this.
It's one of the things that I really like about going on cruises, actually, is the fact that when you're out at sea, I'm sort of forced to put down my iPad, not scroll through my Facebook, and I get used to that through the week. I'd love to go on like a 3-month cruise where it'd sort of force me to sort of detox from using my iPad, using my phone, contacting people. And it's weird how you sort of get used to it.
It's weird that you call it a detox as well.
Yeah, that's actually quite...
That's the bit that shocked me the
most. Maybe that's a problem, guy.
I think this is the problem, is that the websites that we use so commonly on the internet are made to be as addictive as possible. Like, games that you get on your phone are made to be addictive. They give you just enough satisfaction that once you've gotten so far, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Like, they do things on purpose to make it addictive.
Yeah.
I won't mention any particular ones.
Oh, no,
but
definitely not. We'll talk more about this as the show goes on, because I really want to ask you about what your first computer was. But we're going to go into another song now, Maisie. What have we got coming up?
What have we got coming up? We have Vogue by Madonna right after this. We'll be right back.
Jazz, rock, dance, and all your other musical needs on Siren FM.
Thank you.
Vogue Madonna, you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment Sunday breakfast show, Squabble Box, and we're going to be with you until 10 a.m, where we will be followed by the lovely Tracy Edges. Sunday Girl is here, taking you till noon this lovely Sunday afternoon.
Everything's lovely today.
Everything's lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And before that last track, we've been talking about the 1990s.
We have.
And before that last track, we were talking about some of the computers and things like that and the internet. I want to ask you, Maisie, what was your first computer?
Now, the problem is, I'm a little different to most people our age, is that in that I had a computer pretty much from the word go. Not my own computer. We've always had a family computer. But it was a computer that I'm pretty sure my dad built.
Yes.
So I can't give you a specific brand or a model name. All I can give you is my dad had some spare bits of computer and made us one.
It was one of a kind.
Yeah, like the one I've got at the minute is one of a kind. It's custom built by my dad because he's very good at it. And
by my dad, because he's very good at it. Keep making me computers, Daddy.
Yes, please keep making me computers and coming to fix them when they're broken.
What software did you have, though?
It was Windows.
Windows 95?
I think we had the one before 95.
Really?
I think we might have had...
What was before 95?
I think there was some... No, there wasn't anything.
No, Windows 95 was the first one.
It was the first proper software. It was the first proper interface, I think. I think before then it was sort of the thing that you're used to seeing on, like, really old films where it was just, like, a block of, like, green text.
Yeah. Yeah, Windows 95 came out in 1995, 21 years ago.
Have you ever seen the...
22 years ago.
Oh, God, we're nearly as old as...
We're older.
Well, younger. You're younger.
Oh, yeah, I'm younger, sorry, yeah.
I'm about as old.
You're
as.
Nearly as old.
I'm nearly August, as old. It's a August, little older than me.
August 15th, 1995.
Oh, I'm a month older. Cool. interesting fact. It must have been 95. So, yeah, I've had a computer from pretty much get-go because my dad's worked with computers since I was very young. And... apparently, I would often play this one thing on the internet that my mum could find for children. There were two things on the internet my mum could find for children at that time. One was like a button mashing game where you on the keyboard each key would be like a different thing, like a different colour or noise or sound, or it would be a different picture. And as a child, as a 2-year-old child, she would just sit me in front of the computer and I'd just mash the keyboard to make patterns happen. So I would find my favourite sound and then just do it over and over again.
Yeah.
And then for my sister, there was a Barbie website. It was not officially but the Barbie website. This was pre-Barbie website. It was a website of someone who had a Barbie collection and just took a picture of all of them individually and posted them on this website. So my sister would just look at pictures of Barbies.
Oh, wow. That's...
That was what we did. And I remember having the when the CBBC website was first up.
Yes.
And then CBeebies came up. But the weird thing I remember, and I don't know if this is true, or I don't know if this is a thing that I remember wrong, but it might be because we've talked on the show before about false memories. But I swear, if you were on the CBBC website and you clicked It's My Birthday, there was a broken link and it would take you to the CBeebies website for some reason. Like, there was supposed to be a proper website. There was supposed to be a page for, like, if it's your birthday, you can, like, get your parents to email in, or you could get, you could print out, like, a birthday card for yourself, yeah, or do some birthday pictures, or get a message
printing out your own birthday card, yeah. That has got to be the saddest thing.
I wasn't allowed to use the printer, it cost too much. But I swear, the link for that was broken, and it would take you to the CBeebies page. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
it just did.
I don't know. I don't remember. If anyone else remembers
this. It's a really weirdly...
controversial catastrophe. Just, please do get in touch.
It's just a really vivid memory.
It's at SirenFM on Twitter, studio at sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page, Squabble Box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
So I never had Windows 95 that I remember of. We got a computer with Windows 98, which was the next one.
I thought it was 97 was the next one.
No, 98 was okay. The next one. And one of my favourite things about being a kid and being in ICT as a kid, learning how to use Word documents, was Clippy. Do you remember Clippy?
Clippy's the worst.
What are you saying about Clippy?
Clippy can go. Clippy can just make himself into a bike and go.
For people who don't know, Word document, Microsoft Word document, had a little...
I think he's still there.
No, he's not.
Can you not make him appear?
No.
Oh.
There used to be a way around it, but now you can't, because basically he was a little...
he was a little help icon. You could change him. There was a version, I think, in Windows XP.
Well, that's what I'm just about to get to. That's what I'm about to get to, because he's basically a little helper in your corner.
Yeah, he's a little paperclip with eyes, and he would bother you while you were trying to do stuff.
But you could make him do things and, like, get distracted
He was a bit like Siri. You could, if you put in the right commands, he would do something interesting.
But then, like you say, when we moved on to a different software interface, they decided, oh, we're going to upgrade it, and you could no longer just have Clippy, you had a choice of about eight people.
You could choose the sprite, and I remember the one that our school used was the dog for some reason.
Yeah, well, we could choose, like, ourselves which one we wanted to use.
Oh, the dog came default on ours, so we just kept it. I don't think nobody at my school was that bothered. We were too busy playing the Scooby-Doo games.
I was looking at it going, we were there, like, this to me is like when you walk into home base and see that there is other Hoovers except for Henry. You know, when you see, like, James. Have you seen James the Hoover?
Yeah, who the hell is James?
Yeah.
Like, I know Hetty. Hetty's fair enough.
Yeah, Hetty Hoover, because, you know, Henry needs a girlfriend. And,
hey, Henry can have a boyfriend.
He could, yeah, definitely. Definitely, I'm not saying that. But that's why...
Maybe that's why they made James.
Yeah, but why James? Why, if you're going to go with Henry and Hetty, then why didn't they get a... Oh, there is a Harry Hoover.
I think that might be a knockoff one.
No, that's by...
Please tell me he's blue.
I can't believe we're talking about Henry Hoovers.
Of course we're talking about Henry Hoovers. It's Squabblebox.
Henry Hoover hit range, what's the difference? I am looking on this website.
Is there a difference? I thought it was just the colour.
No, apparently there's a difference between them. And we're going to find out. I don't care what they're talking about the 90s. We're talking about Henry Hoovers now. I'm going to find this out. I'm going to solve the mystery. Who is... James the Hoover. But before that, we're going to go into another song. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. Talking all about the 1990s here on Squabblebox Sunday Breakfast. We're going to be with you until 10 a.m. this morning. And before that last song, Maisie, we were talking about Henry Hoovers.
Yeah.
Just because there's the story behind it is, if you go into any, you know, any well-known company that sells Hoovers, you will walk in and you will find that there is now a range of Hoovers
I'm
in the Henry
I'm pretty
range.
Sure there's always been a range, because there's a store in Huddersfield that you go past, like, I don't know if it's still there, but you would go past it on the bus route into town, and I'm pretty sure it had all the colours of Henry Hoover.
Yeah.
With all of their, I don't know if they had the names on, they might have been knockoffs, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, everyone, we were asking, who is James the Hoover, and why is he with Henry and Hetty? And it seems like a lot of our listeners have as well, because the Henry Hoover website has crashed.
Do you think it's all of our, it's all of our viewers?
I think all of our listeners have gone to the Henry Hoover website to try and find out what is going on. But yeah, the website is down, so I cannot find out who James the Hoover is. But if you want to find out more, go and Google it yourself. Go Google it yourself. Don't leave it to us. But we're talking all about the 1990s. Here today for Squabblebox Sunday Breakfast. And Maisie, mm-hmm. What's some other stuff from the 90s which stick out in your memories, or things that you think we should bring up?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't thought this far ahead.
I'll tell you what, whilst you think, we'll read out the tweet that we've got in from at T Edgers, Sunday Girl Tracy Edgers. She's here from 10 a.m. in approximately 27 minutes' time. Hi, Tracy, she says. I'm listening to at Squabblebox at Siren FM. Good morning, Kai and Maisie.
Good morning.
Hard not to use computers now, as shops and banks, etc., are disappearing too fast. So that's a very... Obviously, it's not actually about the 90s, but the whole interface of how we shop has changed since the 1990s.
It has. I mean, I think you could order things online still in the 90s, but it'd be a bit dodgy.
I always remember in the 1990s, catalogues were a big thing.
Catalogues. I used to love going through catalogues. I think Argos is the only place that still gives out catalogues.
Yeah, even the... even like the Yellow Pages and things like that, which aren't technically catalogues, but these big books where people actually went to actually look in books to find things. I sound like I'm really...
You sound like one of those people who are mean to millennials that we were talking about in the first hour.
Do you know who I feel bad for?
Who?
Strong men. Because they have nothing to rip up nowadays. Who uses a phone book?
Well, we don't have any more because they kept ripping them up.
Like, it's much more difficult to iPad.
They can rip up the Argos catalogue. Argos catalogue just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that is true, actually. And Argos, I love the fact that they've stuck with this, with just a catalogue system.
Yeah.
But no, I remember catalogues being a massive thing when I was a kid. My mum had ordered out of them. Littlewoods was one that a lot of people had. I don't know whether that was like early noughties, actually. Avon catalogues.
Yeah, you still get Avon.
Yeah.
I get emails every now and again being, do you want to be an Avon representative? So, like, not really.
Everyone has that lady on their road that tries to sell them goods from Avon that you really want, but there you just feel like you've got to be nice because your friend's selling them.
Yeah, and so you'd buy a nail polish
and if that doesn't happen to you, then it's you.
Then if you're the one who's selling Avon, look, they're doing it because they like you. It's okay. So it's one of those things where no one likes being bothered in the playground by other mums. But I had it in my area where there was always like every like couple of years there'd be a wave of mums who were doing the Avon thing. So we'd get like three catalogues through our door, and my mum would just be like my mum didn't know any of the other mums because they were all... they all had kids of different ages. So, like, so by the time that, a large amount of families moved into my area, they all had really young kids, and me and my sister were teenagers.
Yeah.
So it's not like we conversed.
Yeah.
So my mum was sort of there, like, I don't wear makeup at all. Like, my mum has recently gone through her makeup box and thrown out everything that's old, which was everything. And you know, when she bought all of it, she told me. She bought it for her wedding.
Oh, gosh.
My mum has been married for about, 17 years nearly.
Yeah, you were wearing jelly shoes at the wedding.
No, I was wearing adorable little Mary Janes, thank you very much.
So,
and I look like a princess.
1990s culture. We touched on movies slightly earlier. Mm-hmm. However, let's go back to talking about a few, because one that's popped up here that I've just thought of now is Trainspotting. Now, I haven't seen Trainspotting, but I know that you have, because I noticed the DVD on the side
at
home.
I literally watched it for the first time last night.
Was it the first one that you watched? Because the Trainspotting 2 is out now.
And I'm going to go see it later today. Is the plan.
Well, look at that.
I told you this morning.
Look, it's something relevant to the time period that we're in. You're going to the Odeon in Lincoln. We're Lincoln-centric. This is perfect radio.
I told you this morning.
Did you?
Are you pretending not to know?
Probably, because, you know, we're on air and other people are listening.
I can't tell if you're pretending not to know or whether you just don't listen to me anymore.
Probably a little bit of both, to be honest.
Yeah, see, this radio partnership can't carry on if we don't communicate better.
So, Trainspotting, I've never seen it.
Yeah, have you? And you've never read the book either?
I've never read the book either. And I've always heard about it, though, as this iconic film of the 1990s.
Yeah, it's a super cult classic, and I can see why watching it. But it's talking about a lot of issues that did come up in the 90s. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a really hard-hitting thing to watch. It's about addiction. It's about an awful lot of the issues that came about from addiction in the 90s. And it's a really harrowing story. And the whole point of the second one is that... it's literally 20 years later, and it's the same group of people, but what happens to them, you know, after the fact. So obviously you get the very 90s idea of sort of club culture, of sort of the way that jobs work, the way that the housing market works. You see all of that, and now you're looking at it 20 years. So you're looking at it retrospectively, and now you have the same characters and realise, sort of like, oh yeah, those characters, if they were real, they would still be alive. They would still have lives to live, assuming that they've all survived this long, considering the damage that they did to themselves. And it's weird to think that these people can still exist in this world. But obviously, they've adapted just as anyone has. If they lived in the 90s, everyone's adapted to the noughties and the tens.
Would you recommend the film?
I would. It's definitely an 18 for a reason.
Yes,
and
of
you,
course.
If you're squeamish, then don't bother at all. It's and I'm not going to reiterate what happens, partly because I don't want to spoil it, and partly because it's not appropriate for 9 o'clock in the morning.
Is it actually about spotting trains?
There is one train in the entire... No, there are two trains in the entire film.
Ah. Well, that's let it down for me. I won't be checking it out. I'm joking, of course.
It's a bit like Breakfast Club. They never explain why it's called...
The Breakfast Club. That's another film I've not seen. Okay. Was that 90s? No, that was 80s.
That was 80s. That's super 80s.
Yeah.
That's the 80s.
All the 90s films. Ooh.
This
ooh.
Is the problem. It's like our version of 90s is Disney and Pixar and DreamWorks.
Yeah.
So we don't...
We mentioned Toy Story earlier. Other 1990s
Yeah, that came out in 95.
Films.
You wouldn't... Actually, the first Toy Story has aged quite well.
Yes.
I'm still surprised when I find out that it's from 95, because that's the same sort of era when we couldn't even do, like, 3D games properly. Because that's the thing, gaming. Me and you quite liked our 90s gaming. Because I know that you were really into your PS2.
Yes.
That was 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
a PS1.
I was still rocking the PS1 in the 90s.
You were rocking your PS1 in the 2010s.
I was rocking the PS1. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like 5. So I just had the joystick and played with it.
So
I normally just watched my dad play. But I also, I think the 90s was when I was first introduced to PC games, actually. Because obviously we had the computer, and my dad had a couple of games. He had Myst, which is a cult classic, and he had, I can't remember what the proper name of it is. I think it's Ramadan? Ramadar? It's about, it's like, have you seen these? They're sort of, they're video games, but with real actors in.
No.
So it's like a live action game.
All right.
It looks really creepy. So you've got like an actual actress talking to you as the character, but behind her is a generated background.
Oh, that's really strange.
It is really strange, but it works for the 90s. I don't know if that game actually came out in the 90s, and if my dad's listening, he's going to be very angry at me for not remembering the name of this. If my dad is listening, can you tell me? Because it's the one with the pterodactyl on the front that's not a pterodactyl, and he'll know what that means, which is great for all of our other listeners.
Well, a couple of 90s films, but we'll talk about them after this next song. So we're getting towards the end of today's show. Make sure that you get in touch. Let us know your favourite things about the 1990s at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via our radio player app.
Stay tuned to Siren FM.
Listening to Siren at 107.3 FM. You are here with Squabblebox with myself, Maisie Anderson, and Kai Valentine.
Hello! So, we've been talking,
I don't know where that came from either.
A little bit of a sideshow Bob kind of
hello.
Hello! Hello, Bart. So we are talking all about the 1990s this morning. We're quickly heading towards the final section of our show. However, let's talk about a couple of the movies that came out in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
Some absolute classics, which I know are classics, but I've never seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen Pulp Fiction.
No, you haven't.
Is it a good film?
It depends. If you're into Tarantino, then it is.
It's one of those like cult classics.
Definitely. It is a cult classic. And you have to be... It's one of those things where you kind of have to pay attention because it switches between timelines really quickly. So you get confused if you're not paying attention.
The Matrix was another one that I saw when I was a kid. And I wasn't a fan, but I kind of feel like I should check it out again as an adult.
I think the problem is that as a kid, you don't understand the underlying sort of ideas that it's presenting to the audience, because it's the whole idea of sort of blissful ignorance versus the truth and taking down the establishment and our alien overlords. Ah.
Yeah. The Shawshank Redemption, one of my favourite films of all time.
Yeah, you can't say you enjoy it, though.
No, it's a difficult one.
It's a difficult...
Because there are bits which are...
It's a difficult watch, but it's
very humorous.
So important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very... it's an absolute classic of a film. A couple of other ones that will run off there. Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
I've never seen
anything
Forrest
with
Gump.
Tom Hanks is good.
Yeah, I that's one film that... out of any film that I've not seen, that is one where I go, I really need to see Forrest Gump.
How have you never seen Forrest Gump?
I don't know. I've seen many parodies of it. Like,
yeah,
you see many parodies of those, of the scene with the chocolates.
Yeah, life is like a box of chocolates. Everyone knows that, but you need to watch it.
So we're quickly coming towards the end of today's show. So I feel like we should talk about what happened at the very, very end of the 1990s, and that was the Y2K. Obviously, it didn't happen.
Okay, so this is something that me and you are a bit confused on, because we were respectively 4 and 5
yes,
when the Y2K pandemic started. And this was basically, it was the idea that all technology would break because it was the millennia.
Yeah, and everyone thought that the world was going to end. Basically.
Because the millennia?
Yes.
What?
That was what was going to happen, apparently. All technology would break, and that would lead to the end of the world.
Yeah,
everyone would die.
Like, there were even
lovely
like,
Sunday morning radio here on Siren FM.
I remember that apparently there were also TV shows teaching you what to do in the event of Y2K.
Yeah.
Like, they were saying something like, unplug all of your computers and technology and then plug them back in and see if they work.
So we never had that scare for us because I was 4 or 5 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, you would have been 4.
Yeah, 4 years old in the year 2000. But the first time I remember having a sort of Y2K-esque scare with, you know,
yeah, quote marks
around it, was the 2012.
Oh, yeah, everyone was scared about 2012, which is unfortunate for our roommate Jack because it was on his birthday. And if you mention the 2012 doomsday, he gets really angry.
At 2012.
It ruined his birthday.
On the time that they thought that the world was going to end in 2012, it started raining where I was. And I was there, like, we were all there playing.
In Britain.
We were outside playing football. That's how much we cared about it. And then suddenly it started raining and we all went, oh gosh.
And then there was, was it 2012 when the Mayan calendar was up, or is that a different year?
Yeah, I think that was it.
That was the Mayan calendar thing.
But, like,
God, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
And then there was also the Hadron Collider. Everyone thought that the Hadron Collider was going to make a massive wormhole and suck everything into it. That didn't happen either.
But 1999 to 2000, the Y2K sort of scare. People really thought that there were a lot of people who thought that the world was going to end.
Yeah, see, I think I was quite lucky in the fact that my mum and dad genuinely didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So I never had the scare because I'd never had a reference to be scared of. If I'd seen my mum and dad freaking out and sort of bulk buying water and, you know, all that sort of...
It's one of the great things that I love about being born, like, so late in the 90s as well, means that I will actually get to a point where I am now at a point in my life where I can say, well, I've been in two centuries. I've lived in two centuries, which are, you know...
Anyone past the age of 17 can't say... Anyone under the age of 17 can't say that.
Yeah, because the last person passed away last year who was born in the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah, so he'd have been in three centuries.
Oh, I want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to do that. I'd have to live to 106.
Yeah, no, 104.
104?
Yeah.
So,
106.
Yeah, 95, then plus 100, then another year on top.
The reason why I always remember Y2K and about it all, and the reason why I read up about it originally was because one of my favourite wrestlers debuted in 2000, well, very, very close to 1999-2000, and he had a countdown clock. He did a very clever thing before his debut. He had a countdown clock, and it went Y2, and his name's Chris Jericho, so he... donned the name Y2J instead of Y2K, and it stuck. He still uses it 17 years later.
That's such an outdated reference.
No, but it's just his nickname, and people don't remember that it's Y2K. People just call him Y2J Chris Jericho.
You also were under the impression that the Four Horsemen was a wrestling term and not a biblical reference.
All right, yes. But talking about professional wrestling, there is an event coming up, and it links to the 1990s, because I'm currently about to start my chapter of my dissertation about the 1990s of professional wrestling. But there is an event coming up today, Fight Factory Wrestling Origins at the Engine Shed. Tonight, 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m, I believe. Tickets are £12, £10 for students. It is strictly over 18s only. You can get your tickets from down at the Engine Shed this evening or online before the show at linkswrestling.uk or fightfactorywrestling.uk as well. We had the wonderful Dale Preston on the show last week talking all about it. It's been replayed all week on Siren FM. It's a huge event this evening featuring none other than the first ever British world champion, Nick Magnus Aldis. Some may remember him from Gladiators UK as well.
Ooh.
So really, really exciting stuff going down at the Engine Shed this evening. Tonight, make sure you get down there, support local wrestling, support a great local company, and yeah, that's my little plug for today for our good friends down at Fight Factory Wrestling. But we are coming towards the end of today's show, aren't we, Maisie?
We are indeed, and I'm feeling so nostalgic now.
Yeah,
I want to go home and play Monkey Island.
I want to go home, put Spyro on, eat a packet of flumps. And
flumps?
Flumps.
Oh, we need to talk about this on a different episode.
Do you not know what a flump is?
I feel like I do, but I probably didn't refer to them as flumps.
How do you not know what a flump... Right, we will talk about this off air, Maisie. We've got to head off into a couple of songs now before the news, but make sure that you stay tuned for the wonderful Tracy Edgers Sunday Girl coming up from 10 till 12, followed by Ed Wellman. He's here from 12 o'clock with Siren Replay, looking at, back at all the best bits from Siren FM's programming from the week. Coming up at 2 till 3, we have Take the Stage with Simon Payne and Molly Moore, and then into the evening. We've got lots of other great programming coming up on Siren 107.3 FM, so stay tuned. We have been your Sunday Breakfast Team Squabblebox, and stay tuned for Tracy Edgers and Sunday Girl.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. Something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, Maisie has worked out what a flump is. We have been your Sunday breakfast team. Maisie, what is a flump?
I'm not telling you.
You've been listening to Siren FM's breakfast show. Make sure that you stay tuned for Tracy Edgers, and we'll be back here next week. This is your news at 10 o'clock coming up.
I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take